The following is a presentation of the First United Methodist Church of Pittsfield, Massachusetts. We are a caring and inclusive church, seeking to know Christ and share grace with our community. We worship at 10:30 on Sunday mornings in our sanctuary at 55 Fenn Street in Pittsfield, and on our website at fumcpittsfield.org. We hope that you are blessed as you listen to this message.
Good morning. The first reading is from Judges 4, 1 through 7. After Enad had died, the Israelites again did things the Lord saw as evil. So the Lord gave them over to King Jabin of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. The commander of his army was, Sisera, and he was stationed in Hushareth HaGanim. The Israelites cried out to the Lord because Sisera had 900 iron chariots and had oppressed the Israelites cruelly for 20 years. Now Deborah the prophet, wife of Lippidoth, was a leader of Israel at that time. She would sit under Deborah's palm tree between Ramah and Bethel in Ephraim Highlands, and the Israelites would come to her to settle disputes. She sent word back to Barak, Abinam's son, from Kedesh and Naphtali, and said to him, "Has the Lord Israel's God issued you a command? Go and assemble at the Mount Tabor, with taking 10,000 men from the people of Naphtali and Zebulun with you. I'll lure Sisera and the commander of Jabin's army to assemble his chariots and troops against you at Jashan River, and then I'll help you overpower him." The second reading is from 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 11. "We don't need to write to you about the timing and dates, brothers and sisters. You know very well that the day of the Lord is going to come like a thief in the night. When they are saying there is peace and security, at that time, sudden destruction will attack them, like labor pains starting with a pregnant woman, and they definitely won't escape. But you aren't in darkness, brothers and sisters, so the day won't catch you by surprise like a thief. All of you are children of the light, children of the day. We don't belong to night or darkness. So then, let's not sleep like the others, but let's stay awake and stay sober. People who sleep, sleep at night. People who get drunk at night. Since we belong to the day, let's stay sober, wearing faithfulness and love as a piece of armor that protects our bodies, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. God didn't intend for us to suffer his wrath, but rather to possess salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we will live together with him. So continue encouraging each other and building each other up, just like you are doing already." Next is on the book bulletin is a hymn. Unfortunately, Joshua is going to be playing that alone, so we're going to skip it.
Hey, fancy meeting you all here. Well, I guess this is what we were saying as far as adjusting. This is one of those things that we will just attribute to time. Unlike Pastor Steve, I am not technically connected to everything, so my stuff is always pen, paper, printouts, that type of stuff. But, excuse me. So I'm prepared. Thank you very much. As you can see, the title of my message today is called Cliffhangers. And you can see little pictures there. You know, during the golden age of television, That is the 80s and 90s for me. Actually, the 70s too. Before Netflix and Hulu and Amazon Prime and any other streaming service you can think of, we had to actually wait. We couldn't even get a preview. There was no Google, there was no internet. We had what's called a TV guide, and there was a Parade magazine, if you were lucky enough to get that in the newspaper insert. So you'd have to kind of follow along with all of that. And I just put a few pictures out there, because there's a whole bunch of them. The ones that I wasn't able to put up there and I'm not the only one that remembered these. So there was the Royal Wedding at Dynasty, the Royal Wedding at Dynasty. How many remember that? There was also, in the early 90s, there was Star Trek, The Next Generation, The Best of Both Worlds. If you was into Star Trek, I did that because I know Pastor Steve is kind of a techie guy. there was the infamous, and this is another one of his shows that I found as well, The West Wing, What Kind of Day It Has Been. That was in the early 2000s. So those are just some of the newer ones that I came across. But the older ones, there's the 90s, there's the Simpsons is when who shot Mr. Burns. Turns out he was trying to steal candy from Maggie, the little baby on the Simpsons, and she ended up accidentally shooting him. Don't know how that happened. There's Breaking Bad, for those of us that enjoy that. That's a cliffhanger there. Ross from Friends, that's another one. And the last but not least, all of us know, you should remember this one, even if you didn't watch the show, Who Shot JR? Man, that thing was, whoo! You couldn't hide from that one. That was on every street corner, every radio station, newspaper, your neighbors, strangers on the street. They might not like each other, but they will talk about who shot JR. And we all talked about it like we were TV writers and producers and we knew it was going to happen. None of us knew. But we waited valiantly for who done it. Dun, dun, dun. Who did it? And you might be asking, well, what does that have to do with Paul's writing to the church at Thessalonica? I'm glad you asked that question. You see, like cliffhangers, Paul is talking to the people in the church of Thessalonica and he's saying, listen, I know I brought you the good news and I know there's challenging times. You're dealing with customs and things that you have to experience in your area, because they were in the area of Greece. And if you're familiar with Greece, there's a lot of different deities that they, you know, worship. And Paul had, when he's going in, he's bringing the good news, he's got to sift through all of that and explain to them that who Christ Jesus is and what he did. Because none of them walked with him. None of them was around. Jesus had already ascended. So this is the message that's being preached through one of the servants of God. And that's what Paul was doing. And he was trying to tell them, as you heard, to stay in encouraging conversations about Christ. You know, the teachings that were changing their lives, and just like it changed our lives, be on one accord with each other. Yes, life is going to happen. Yes, things are going to unfold. Yes, you're going to have different experiences, and not all of them are going to be high mountaintop experiences. Some of them are going to have some rainy days, just like you have some sunny days. But God doesn't change. His grace doesn't change. It's always there for us. And what Paul was encouraging, that's the stuff you stay focused on. Be vigilant about that. Share the good news with those that you can. Share what you have with those that you can. And those that are in worship, the synagogues that they were worshiping back then, stay together. Stay with one another. And like I said, you know, he was bringing the good news. They were hearing the message. They were changed by the message. But they still were asking, well, when is this going to happen? When is Christ coming back? What are we supposed to be doing? How do you know? Do you even know? Because did you see him? Did you walk with him? And that's a resounding no. Paul didn't. He was not one of the original disciples to walk with Christ. So he's teaching everything from his experience of revelation, because he had that Damascus experience and had to go sit down and wait for information to be downloaded from heaven to him, basically. Sorry. Long night. But that's what Paul had to deal with, and the church was at the time was anticipating, you know, it's happening right now. Because we all deal, every generation deals with that. Christ is coming back. And everybody goes, well, when? He's coming like a thief in the night. Okay, when? So I can leave my windows unlocked. When? When is he coming? It's like the child in the back car. You know, we used to, are we there yet? And finally, your mom and pops turn around and be like, you gonna be there if you keep asking me that question. So these are things that we have to deal with in this natural setting, in this natural realm that we're in, this physical realm that we're in. We're constantly asking. And I know in my lifetime, and you know, I'm a very fairly young man in my mind, and but even, you know, I've had these experiences. Case in point, these were things that made me anxious, because we're always hearing about the destruction of the world and the end times is coming. Well, one of them that I actually worked through was Y2K. All the machines going to crap out. All your money going to be gone. Y'all ain't going to have no food. Y'all, we going to be struggling. And I remember working, I was in the computer field by that point, and I remember going around and upgrading banks and putting in new equipment, and we were just waiting. All the computers, they may not see 2000. They stop at 1990. And so we were scrambling. And to be honest with you, I felt confident, but there was still a part of me that was like, should I take my money and put it in the shoebox? Because I don't know. I don't really have a lot, but the little bit I do have, hopefully to get me something to eat. And the other thing that happened after that was 9/11. No one expected that to happen. No one. We had never been attacked like that on our soil since, what, like the Revolutionary War or Civil War? So for that to happen, that shook us. It shook us to the core. Because we didn't know, was there more to come? Was there stuff that's going to happen after this? The two buildings that everybody wanted to see, the Twin Tower, we used to go see that, you know, that was a field trip, you know, for kids in school. So for that to be gone, and that was very unnerving. It was an unnerving time. It did bring us together, because sometimes tragedy does bring you together, but no, that was not a good time. But even in that, I was like, Lord, where are you? What is this going on? Then you look, 2015, Ebola outbreak. What in the world is Ebola, number one? And how did it get here? And why is it here? And should I not touch people, go outside? Should I put on the whole boy in the bubble suit? You know, like it caused some anxiousness in me. And the last one, most recently, was COVID-19. Didn't know what was going on. I had an inside track, though. Every time I went into the grocery store during COVID-19, I'd walk down this one particular aisle. And if I saw these items on the shelf, I knew it was bad, but it wasn't that bad. And these items were Spam, deviled ham, Vienna sausage, mackerel. If you saw those cans up there, it wasn't that bad. Because when you hungry, I don't know if you've ever been hungry, but when you hungry, you'll reach for that. So I knew it, every time I went there, when I saw that and I saw the sardine shell still pretty fairly full, I said, we're all right. We'll be all right. It'll be okay. Just keep moving forward. And so I use these as illustrations because those are moments where I can honestly say, I was like, Lord, what is going on? What is happening? Should I prepare not to go into work tomorrow because you're going to be coming tonight? What? Tell me something. But each day, you get up, take a breath, look around. I always call people that I think is a little more holy than myself. I call my Aunt Donna. Hey, Aunt Donna, how you doing? Oh, okay, you still here? Good, that means I'm good. At least in my own mind, you know. That's how I worked it out. But I'm also encouraged by what Paul said in verse 8. And I want to kind of like segue, break it down in the scripture. Because he says, but since we belong to the day, and that's what he was trying to get them to understand, that they were looking for that day, Christ's return. He said, let us be sober. Sober to me means be clear in the body and clear in your spirit. Putting on faith and love as a breastplate. And at the time, the breastplate of the time would protect the heart, the lungs, organs that are necessary and vital for our lives. And, you know, if your lung get punctured, breathing is very challenging. Your heart stop working, and that's another issue. But these are the things that that the breastplate covered. And the hope of salvation as a helmet, protecting our minds and things and keeping the anxiety levels low so that we're not, you know, Chicken Little and the sky's falling, because nobody wants to wake up to that every day. You don't want to hear negative every day. That's why I learned to turn off the news sometimes, because we turn on the news, it's always something, another tragedy, something negative happened, something that's going to generate you to go, oh my gosh, I can't believe that happened again. We can be informed, we just don't have to be infected. And that's the difference. And that's what we as believers have. We have information, we can listen to the information, we can hear it, but we know the God that we serve is with us. The God, he holds our hand. He keeps a hedge of protection around, not just the do-gooders of the world, but all of us. It's just that we are open our hearts to receive it, and there's some people who are still searching to receive it. At least that's how I understand it to be. And I say that respectfully because I know that I work with some people that, you know, I know they have faith, but it's just not active faith. And what I mean by that is that recently I had a coworker, they lost a family member, and I'm not one to run around going, yeah, I'm going to church one day. I don't do all that, but I do tell people, hey, I'll pray for you. If they pull me to the side, hey, I'll, you know, touch and agree with you. And so they came to me and they said, Ron, would you pray for my family? And I was caught off guard because I have before, but I had never, you know, we'd never prayed together. So I felt, first of all, I had to go pray about it. I was like, Lord, thank you, because it's an opportunity for me to extend grace to someone, for me to extend your love to someone, for me to share what you have given with me. So I'm thankful for that. And after we prayed, it was a beautiful moment, and I went on back to work with a smile on my face and thanking the Lord all day for that. So these are the moments that we have an opportunity to circle the wagons, to say, you know, share what we believe with the people that are around us. Even if they don't necessarily have to be like chapter and verse and out of the book of this and out of the verse that. And sometimes it's just expression and love. And I know I'm not the only one. I'm sure you guys have opportunities where even if you hold the door for somebody, that's an act of respect. That person may very well change something that they thinking about just because of you holding the door. A thank you, a wave, a come on in when the traffic is backed up. And yeah, you want to get home too, but you see this car over here struggling. So come on in, you know? And then that's how community is supposed to work. And that's when I was drawn from what Paul is telling the church at Thessalonians to do just that. Let's stay in community. I know it's uncertain. I know you're seeing what's going on. I know you got all of this stuff that you're dealing with on a daily basis, but God is still God, and he still loves you. He still has grace, mercy, and joy for you. He still has peace for you. All those things exist in and of itself because God is. That's why Jesus said, well, where is God? Look around. He's everywhere. His hand, his handiwork is on everything. And even when it's cold, and I'm not a winter person, but I'm driving to work some mornings when it's like, and I'm not rushing the snow, so don't do it tomorrow. But there are times when I'm driving to work and the snow is sitting on the trees after the leaves have already gone, and it's just beautiful. Even in those moments, it's like, it's cold outside, yes, but there's beauty even in that. And after the storms pass and things settle down, you start to see new life, new growth, things happen. That's all the handiwork of God. And it's just one of the things that I just admire and I thank the Lord for every day, because his grace is with us. And that's just what it is. So as we mature in faith, you know, just knowing over time that as your faith grows in your walk, you'll begin to embrace an understanding that in every circumstance, good, bad, or indifferent, God is there. You just have to look for him. Sometimes just, Lord, where are you? I can't see you. Now, you might not physically feel him. It might be an impression on the inside. It might be a phone call that comes in from someone you haven't heard from in a long time, or maybe someone you have, and a kind word, a gesture, or something. But there's always an opportunity to find God in whatever circumstances we are in. When we are anxious, when we are nervous, when we're happy, when we're sad, when we just don't understand what's going on, he's always there. And my grandmother used to tell me when I was a young man that you'll understand it better by and by. And that's why I said as we mature over faith, that's the by and by part. Over time, as you get up each day, you have these different experiences with one another and with your neighbors, with your coworkers, with people you may not necessarily hang out with after work, but I spend more time with people at work than I do with my own family. So some of them have actually become like my work family. And I'm sure for you guys that aren't retired, it's the same thing. And those that are retired, same thing. We just evolve, we grow, and there's different levels to everything. But God's grace is in it all. He is with us. He's never forsake us, nor will he leave us. And we don't have to be vigilant anxiously. We can be vigilant in peace. We can stand and be watchful from a place of love and not a place of stress. We don't have to fight for anything. When I mean fight, I mean like you don't have to physically. You can rest in knowing that you are covered. You can rest in knowing that God is with you. You can rest in knowing that his grace is sufficient. And you and I and all of us here are forgiven. And we can't be pulled out of God's hands. Amen? You pray with me. Eternal God, we thank you, Lord God, that you are with us always. You are with us through good, bad, or indifferent. That you give us the strength to move on when things get tough. We ask, Lord God, that you continue to give us peace as we stay vigilant and we wait on your return, because we know the end is an eternity with you. And we know, Lord God, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But while we're here, continue to strengthen and encourage us to give us the means and the wherewithal to do what you'll have us to do. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
This has been a presentation of the First United Methodist Church of Pittsfield, Massachusetts. Thank you for listening, and God bless.